Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beyond Dimensions. My name is Adam Sutcliffe. I am the CPO of Amutri. Today, I am lucky enough to be speaking to Alexandra Powell, who is not only an architect, but co-founder of Powell Property Group and the managing director of Powell DC, as well as being a part-time lecturer at Staffordshire University. So, hi, Alexandra. Thank you very much for your time today.
It's an absolute pleasure. I'm really excited for this conversation.
So am I, because so when I was speaking to you about Powell DC and, you know, the fact that you produce turnkey solutions for homeowners looking to build and extend and renovate their dream homes, one of the things that you dropped into the conversation which really blew my mind was the fact that 3D is a must-have for your process. It's not a nice-to-have. You insist on it being used. And so I'm really keen for you to sort of talk about why that is the case and what you use it for.
Yeah, so for us, it's a no-brainer that 3D visualization, 3D modeling is an essential and non-negotiable part of our workflow. And initially, this is an internal process. I think as an architect, it's far better to get a grasp and develop a design in 3D. So you're seeing it in every environment, in every light, from every angle, and you can zoom in every single detail. Our principle is that we always design from the inside out. So form follows function. So it's really, really important that no matter how the client wants the building to look from the outside or even what their brief is, we start from the inside. So we really get to understand their lifestyle, who they are, and who they're going to be in the future. Are their children going to grow up and leave home? Are they going to have older parents moving in with them? Are they going to get older themselves and have changing needs? So we're thinking with the end in mind. From that point of view, we start designing from the inside out. And more often than not, we end up not giving them what they think they want. So they might not get a loft conversion. They might not get an extension, because if we can reconfigure the internal layout effectively, create lots of built-in storage, maybe built-in furniture, clever solutions to use every inch of the space, then maybe we won't need an extension at all. And as a construction company, this can kind of do us out of a job sometimes. But for me, it's important that the client gets what they want. And then externally, as far as the client's concerned, we're always on the same page. Even when the contractor comes on board, whether it's us or someone else, everyone's going to be on the same page, and they're not going to misinterpret the design that we sort of intend.
So how does that, from a practical perspective, how does that work? So you design in Revit, or your architects design in Revit, and then how do you get from a Revit file to something that you can show and essentially co-create with your clients?
Yeah. So obviously, after a full measured survey, which we tend to do in-house, unless it's a very, very complex building, we like to get to know the building really well, to experience it in different lights. So we'll build the Revit model as existing, and then we'll create the proposal. We usually start with three options. So we don't tend to show the clients 3Ds from the beginning, because again, they get carried away with how it looks rather than focusing on plans. So we always start with floor plans directly from Revit using our templates. And then as we develop the design and we maybe narrow down three options down to one, which combines all the elements that the client likes, we'll then start showing them 3Ds, which are exported from Revit into SketchUp, and then we use Enscape. So we've tried Twinmotion, we've tried Revit, and for us, Enscape works really well. And we find that people can pick it up. So even our apprentice, who's a second year architecture student, picked up Enscape really, really quickly. So we get a good result, whether we're doing a video walkthrough or stills, they have a really kind of professional finish.
Yeah, I was going to ask what you did next, whether you presented it in sort of in its true 3D form, you know, sort of like gaming engine style, where you got someone navigating around, or whether you then use that 3D into sort of 2D renders. Is there, in terms of what it is you want to achieve, which is them understanding and buying into the direction, is one format of one realization better than another sort of achieving that, do you find?
We rely on a combination every single time. So 2D plans, you can't beat them for understanding a layout, but a lot of people struggle to sort of interpret or visualize 2D plans. So we combine that with 3D images and then the video walkthrough, which normally comes in at a slightly more advanced stage, because again, we don't want people to get kind of carried away with the plants and the artwork and the carpets. We want them to really focus on the space, which is easier done in the 2D images. So we kind of layer on the design process. We also start with interior design as an integral part of what we do. So we offer a full interior design service as an additional sort of package, but as an absolute standard, we do a basic interior design, we do mood boards, because again, you can't convey the character and the mood of a space without really thinking about the finished product and how people are actually going to live in there and how it's going to make them feel, how the spaces connect to each other. And I think it's important for a house to have a character, because otherwise you fall into the trap of building this beautiful extension, for example, and then the clients don't know how to dress it, how to make it feel like a home. So it ends up being a bit of a shell.
So I've got two questions that come out of that. So one is, have you ever tried VR on a client?
So not a full VR set. I've tried it myself and I do find it a bit disoriented sometimes. But what we do instead is through Enscape, we generate a QR code on every single presentation. So the clients can photograph the QR code with a mobile phone and sort of move around the space, either a different space that they're in or the house itself, and actually see a 360 view of exactly how that space looks. And it's quite realistic without necessarily wearing, you know, needing certain, you know, glasses or, you know, having any tech gear. And as I told you last time, the renderings look so realistic that when I showed my son the interior of a pool house that we did recently, he shook the phone to see if the water was going to splash out the pool. So we're not quite at that point yet, but it does feel quite immersive. And it also gets the clients quite excited. This is a huge investment that they're making, whether it's a renovation extension or even more a new built home, which we do sometimes. So getting them to really buy into the idea and get excited. So even when we're at that messy stage of digging foundations or uncovering something on site that costs extra money, they kind of can see themselves through the process because they can really visualize the end result.
That's really interesting then. So you're saying that by giving them access to this 3D, it allows them to buy in far more because the quality of the experience has been that much more real, that they sort of already feel themselves in it. So therefore, any little humps or even massive humps that come later on, they're more able to or more willing to deal with because they've already bought in, they're already vested into the solution.
That's right. As you know, a picture tells a thousand words, and whether you're a five-year-old or, you know, you're the parent actually commissioning the extension, you can buy into it and understand. So we often interview children to try to understand what it is that they want, how they want their bedrooms to look, or what's important to them, so that the whole family has a house that really belongs to them. So we will never create a design that's sort of out of the box. We don't obviously copy and paste, and every house is unique to that family. And it's little touches that we can put in, like maybe their names in neon lights behind the headboard, little touches that we know they'll really enjoy that can kind of get the whole family excited about the project. And from a marketing point of view, it really helps us promote our work to other people. So if we can show a design rather than a floor plan, we're much more likely to get other clients. They then go to work and they show it to their colleagues and their friends and family, and it really becomes a conversation topic. And so apart from us being able to put it on our social media, the work sort of speaks for itself.
That's really interesting, and it warms my heart, because I had a conversation with Graham Ross, who is the CEO of Austin Smith Lord, and not Lloyd, which I kept saying, and he, you know, one of his things was that he felt that going to 3D sooner basically increased your chances, or your opportunity rather, to be more empathetic, to understand more, because you're able to engage far more senses, and by democratizing it, far more people in terms of stakeholders, etc. And it just sounds like that's exactly what you just experienced.
Yeah, and when it comes to stakeholders, it's not just the clients and their families, it's also the planners. So in my experience, we're far more likely to get planning permission if we can show the planning department 3D renders, if we can show the new building in context, and trying to get them on board and really kind of excited about what we're trying to do. And especially when it comes to quality design. So even if we're doing something that's slightly different to the rest of the street, hopefully they can really see the benefits. So even though 3D is not a requirement for a planning application, we think it's really, really helpful.
How do you imagine your use of 3D evolving? Because I think for me, you're already pretty advanced, right? From the conversations I've had, a lot of people just stay in 2D, unless they're doing it for renders for marketing, they're pretty much in 2D and maybe forced reluctantly into 3D. So I think you're really, really advanced from that aspect. How do you see PAL DC's sort of use of 3D evolving?
So I'd like to integrate more technology, and I'd love to try out your platform and see how AI can really help us, because it can be quite time consuming, populating a model, finding the right textures, finding the right furniture. And for us, having apprentices really helps with that, because we're sort of developing their own skills and talent and their eye for detail. But also it's a more cost effective way, because if you've got a senior architect, you're better off using them on technical design and more sort of space planning, rather than making a model look kind of pretty and homely. So as important as it is, I completely understand where other practices are coming from when they say it's too expensive. But if you integrate it as the foundation of how you work, you're not going from 2D to 3D and then back to 2D. You're just doing everything in 3D from scratch. So when you have a change, obviously the benefit of using Revit is you don't have to change the floor plan, the section and the elevation. It all gets changed in one instance. So even though the initial investment is relatively high to switch from AutoCAD to Revit, for example, it's a really worthwhile investment to make.
Well, yeah, I mean, the good thing about Amutri, got to plug Amutri at some point, is that we're able to take pretty much any file. So whether it is AutoCAD, whether it is Revit, and take that, and on the fly, if you haven't put any materials in, it'll go, is this a wall? Right, we need wall type materials. If this is a window type materials. And also, swap out, if you haven't got models for chairs, we've got a pretty extensive library where we can just drop those chairs in, or drop those plants in, or build you a terrain around the building to set it. So our sort of stated aim is the democratization of 3D, is to make it, as you said, as easy to access as possible, so that there's no, you don't need any skills, you don't need any new software, but also you can just use your live design data in whatever format that is, and have something that is inherently usable in whatever way that usability is. So, again, I really like the QR code, because it's one of the things that we're looking at with another client, is the ability to give them a QR code so they can send it to their clients to immediately. So the sales piece continues all the time. You don't have to have that. You don't have to be in a meeting, my architect's meeting, to see what's being proposed. You can.
Mm-hmm. It's dynamic.
Totally dynamic. What do you think? Why do you think you haven't really sort of answered this to a degree? But am I right in saying that you think that the reason that other practices don't do it is that they're just not bold enough, or they just see there's too many barriers? Why do you think people aren't as dynamic and as forward thinking as Powell DC?
I think the skill development is a barrier to entry in a way. In the practice I used to work for in the past, we used Revit, but then we paid an external company to do all the renders, and they cost hundreds of pounds per image. But I can now see through trying it myself that actually it doesn't have to cost that much. So I think it's a gap in maybe the cost of the software. So it's an investment in the software, but also the investment in people, because it is undeniably quite a time consuming practice to do 3D renders. But for us, it's just the norm. We build it into our costs. Maybe we reduce our profit, and I can see that through sort of talking to other architects, but we have the benefit of our construction company, which is the main source of income. So sometimes we'll sacrifice the profit on the design because we know that we're going to make the additional profit on construction. So if we can design something that looks fantastic, maybe we do the landscaping, then we can upsell our construction services. So we recently finished an underground cinema design with an above ground gym and home office. It's a fantastic looking project, but out the window we designed a landscaped area with a fire pit and a swimming pool. And as soon as the client saw that, even though it was just for context, just for a background, they fell in love with it and they want that. So they've gone and put a deposit down on the swimming pool and it's all kind of ready to go. So it really kind of helps the clients buy in. In that project, we also put an outdoor kitchen to utilize a space that wasn't really being used outside. So it just makes the model a lot more alive and the project a lot more real in the client's mind.
I didn't think of that. Yeah, you could use the wow of 3D to upsell vision.
It works every time. I don't do it for that reason. I do it because I want a complete image.
Yeah.
And again, we're starting kind of with the end in mind. We might be designing a five-year vision. Maybe it'll be staged over a period of time. But again, I like to start with the final view, like the best case scenario, and then we can kind of work up to it. So even if the client doesn't have the budget to do all of it at once, at least we know where we're heading, and it avoids abortive costs on site. Yeah. So you're not sort of doing something that you're then going to have to dig up and put extra services in and so on. So the reason I created Powell Design and Construction in the first place with my husband, who is more of a building background, was to bridge the gap between design and construction. Because the most heartbreaking thing for an architect is to have all these fantastic designs and incredible visuals that never get built. And it's a shame how many sort of designs go into a drawer and sort of die a death because they're either not feasible or they're not affordable or, you know, whatever reason. But for us, it's really, really important to work with the client's budget, with our quantity surveyor to make sure all the way through the process that what we're designing can actually be built.
Have you ever experimented or used any of the sort of the BIM AR solutions? Because there seems to be quite a few where you see people walking around building sites and they've got like an iPad and they're sort of looking at the BIM overlaid onto this big muddy hole going, all right, okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever experimented or thought about using that?
It sounds like a health and safety hazard to me, walking around a building site not paying attention to where you're going. But it's not something we've ever done. But again, we keep QR codes on site. So as soon as all our trades go on site, they can scan the drawings and find the latest set of drawings. So even though, strictly speaking, all they need are the construction plans, elevations, sections, details, we do include the 3Ds because there are things that can easily get missed off a drawing. And again, even though the 3Ds are always for illustration purposes only, they're not construction drawings, it helps the construction team get excited and feel proud. The way our clients are going to feel proud of their home, we want our trades and our designers to feel proud of the work that they're doing as well.
That's cool. That is really cool. That contextual, I didn't even think of that in terms of by contextualizing it, by giving people understanding their purpose and what they're there to achieve, just makes it so much more real for them and gives them a sort of extended pride in the job. That's really interesting.
That's it. Yeah, it's just a level of excitement. It's fun. It's a bit childish sometimes because it feels like you're in a game. But that's what we're kind of tapping into, that inner child that gets excited by what you can create from nothing.
Yeah, totally. So the question I ask everyone at the end of this podcast is, what do you think the industry will look like in 2030 from a 3D visualization perspective?
I definitely think AI is going to come into it. And, you know, I'm always looking for ways that I can use AI to keep the work authentic, but make it easier. So I like to work smarter, not harder. And I'm always up for a tool that's going to make my life easier. And we can achieve a really good result, maybe with less resource. So then we can redirect our resource somewhere else. I do think that with a growing focus on climate change, sustainability is going to become a much bigger element when it comes to architecture, and that prefabricated construction is going to become a lot more popular, and smart buildings as well. So I think we're going to start integrating a lot more smart technologies. We're going to be able to control our houses, the temperature, the music, the light, something that is a sort of luxury at the moment, I think will become standard. And we'll have these houses that are sort of more integrated in terms of the technology that's available. Sort of building for the future and making sure that not only the building is good for the environment, but it's also good for its inhabitants. So well-being, I think, and health will become a lot more important as we move forward.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Well, thank you, Alexandra, for your time. And that has been a rapid but absolutely fascinating conversation. And thank you for watching. And remember, do like and subscribe, and also join our mailing list at amutri.com to get more podcasts.